This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
This is year A in the lectionary cycle, which in the Episcopal Church, we go through 3 years of readings, and then we start over again. And so this is the beginning of that cycle this year. And one of the things that I think is really, really special about year A, this particular way that we enter into Christmas in this lectionary year, is we get to hear from three different gospel writers about what we are to understand about what's happening on Christmas. So on Sunday, we heard from Matthew, who was our companion for most of this year. And Matthew told us about Joseph and Joseph's dream encounter with the angel and how Joseph was able to accept his role in the life of his would-be wife and the new baby, who was not what Joseph might have been planning, and yet ended up being this means of grace, expounding not only in his family, but for his nation and the world. And then, of course, Luke was our companion last night for Christmas Eve, and his is the story you probably think of when you think of a Christmas Bible story. It's got the shepherds and the angels and no room in the inn and the baby wrapped in the cloth and the whole thing depicted on this little table over here. That comes from Luke's way of telling the story. And then today, we get to spend some time with John. And if you thought Matthew's story disrupted this little display on the table, boy, does John have a whole new way of entering into this with us. There are no angels. There is no Mary and Joseph. There's not even a baby in the way John begins his story. We've been sort of playing a game, imagining how we could set up our little displays to encounter each way the gospel stories tell of Jesus' birth. And so, like I said, Luke's is already pretty much set. You don't need to do much to that display. To get Matthew's version, you have to remove a lot of people, and you have to move Joseph a little bit to the center. We talked about that on Sunday. What shall we do with John's version? How could we set up a John version crush? What sort of nativity story would we tell in our homes if we tried to be true to John's story? John reminds us that the thing that happens on Christmas morning isn't just for Joseph and Mary, isn't just for shepherds in the field, or even the wise men who would come later, isn't only for the people of Israel who have been waiting faithfully for a Messiah and who do indeed receive that promise fulfilled. But in fact, what is happening at Christmas, what is unfolding in the miracle of the incarnation, is for all of creation. It's not even just for people. It is good news for the whole world. Because what is happening in the incarnation that we celebrate on Christmas is that the very creator of the world, the one who was at the beginning and will be there through towards the end and into the recreating, came into our lives, humbled himself to become one of us, to walk among us, and in doing so, showed the way that we might share with him an eternal life. And we come close to that in our celebrations, in encountering the word written in the scripture, and when we come particularly to the table, where we meet his body and blood in the sacrament and take them into our bodies, participating in that miracle of Christ come so close to us that he was born a human man and lived among us. John starts his gospel like Genesis starts, in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The thing that is unfolding in the life of Jesus is the fulfillment of the thing that was unfolding since the beginning of creation. God himself come close to God's creation. Not just close, a part of it. Deeply woven into all that was made. The beginning was the Word. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. John goes on to say, and the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And so perhaps our John vision of the incarnation will have to take away all of our figurines and replace them instead with a single candle. Maybe our sanctuary light right over the sacrament where we keep his body and blood close to us. A candle that cannot be burnt out. However much darkness in the world, however cold or lonely, however separated from God's love things seem, John promises that the incarnation reveals that God's light is still coming into the world. And that each of us can witness to the light, carry the light, hold the light, protect it, and let it shine forth. The light shone in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. We did the whole candle lighting silent night last night, and so each person passed their light to another. And that is that kind of light. It's not that one candle sucks up all the oxygen and the other candles can't burn. It's that each candle lends its light to the next, and therefore it is expanded, multiplied, and the whole room is shining. That's what John wants us to understand about the incarnation. This light in the person of Jesus came into the world so that each of us might have that light for ourselves. And each of us might go from this place shining in that light. So Merry Christmas. I hope you go home and light a candle. I hope that light reminds you of the light that shone in the darkness. And I hope you are able to guard that light, if only symbolically, at least through these 12 days. Let the light that came into the world that the darkness could not overcome, shine in each of your hearts this Christmas season and make it a little brighter for someone else. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.